Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Not so trivial, of course, is transportation. We talk a lot about it in terms of Connecticut. You know, there's been the mileage tax. We know there's so much trucking that goes through that 95 corridor. When it comes to trains and commuting, you know, so important to get down to the city and get around Connecticut. But obviously ridership plummeted in the pandemic. And what is it now? And where is it going to go moving forward? We want to welcome in Jim Cameron from the Commuter Action Group. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So, you know, I think we had you on a little while back. I think since I started doing the show with Ray, where are we in ridership, you know, now that things are starting to open up?
So Metro North at its worst when the pandemic hit was down like 90-95%. I mean, there was almost nobody on the trains. The ridership is slowly coming back. It's about 20 to 25% of pre-pandemic levels. So the trains are still operating. They have only reduced the off-peak train schedule. But in rush hour, there are still two or three trains an hour from the Gold Coast of Fairfield County all the way into the city. The railroad still thinks ridership is going to come back strong. They're not sure when. I'm a little more skeptical. Yeah. I don't think the ridership is going to come back in its old numbers.
So by your numbers, then, it's still down 70% plus, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. On weekends, it's down maybe half, but weekend ridership was much less than weekday ridership. It's really still a commuter line. It's designed to carry people into the city in the morning and back out at night 5 days a week. And that's where their bread and butter is. Half of all the money that railroad made came from the sale of monthly commutation tickets,
right,
which are now down 95, 96%.
So, you know, they're banking on work from home sort of ending, and you think that work from home will be a lot bigger than they do? I mean, is that the basic calculus, or are people still, like, quote-unquote, afraid of going on a train?
Well, two things. I think, first of all, people are a bit afraid of going on the train. The railroad is doing a lousy job of enforcing the federal mask regulations. The TSA says you have to wear a mask on a train, on a plane, in an airport, at a train station, and they are not enforcing that. I mean, I hear anecdotal reports every day of people on trains, usually not in the rush hour, but weekends, you know, people going to Yankees games, things like that.
Right.
But I think the other problem is that some people don't have an office to go back to. Their bosses have found that they don't need as much real estate in expensive New York midtown offices as they used to have. And they've downsized offices, and they've told people, come back a couple days a week. So if the ridership is only about half of what it used to be at its full potential, and people are still working from home, being more productive, enjoying time with their families, not wasting 3 hours a day on a train and $400 on monthly train tickets, I don't think ridership's going to come back as strong as it was pre-pandemic.
Okay, let's talk about that then, because say it's long-term, I don't know if it'll be cut in half, but just for hypotheticals, let's just say long-term it is kind of cut in half. What does that mean for transportation? Because we know that if fewer people are riding, the losses will be bigger, so there'll be pressure to raise prices, but that'll further disincentivize, you know, taking the train. So what would our system look like if long-term the 2019 levels were cut in half?
Good question, Brian. And I hope that the railroad folks are giving that question a lot of thought. I think that they're in some denial now, assuming that somebody is going to, you know, fire a starting gun after Labor Day or whenever, and everyone's going to come back. If we, you know, when the trains were full, when they were standing room only, every train ride was losing money. The railroad was subsidized by taxpayers. Now, with ridership down 75-80%, the subsidy is, you know, it's astronomical. Now, it's being borne right now by the federal government as part of its bailout. But that money is not going to last forever. Congress is not going to subsidize empty trains running around in Connecticut. So there's really three things that can change. They can either lay off employees, which they promised they will not do. They can reduce the schedule, which they don't want to do any more than they have now. Or they can raise the fares. And they don't want to raise the fares to discourage people from taking the train.
Right.
I heard your traffic report, and Monday up in Hartford may be quieter than normal, but the traffic reports in New York City during weekday rush hours are back to normal. It's crowded. It's delayed because some of the people that are going back to the office are saying, I'll take my car, and maybe my boss will subsidize my parking.
Right.
But I don't want to be on the train. I'm not sure if it's safe yet. So that's going to be a long-term problem. We're going to have to do something to either adjust staffing, fares, or schedules if those trains are not full again.
I mean, the pandemic really hurt all the sort of initiatives, right? I mean, because people are taking their cars and they don't want to share the car with anybody, right? They want to drive alone.
Yeah.
And so you have all these individuals. We were trying to do carpooling and alternative transportation. That was all the rage in all of the cities in the metro areas. And now those are all blown away. So I guess, you know, okay, so you've sort of isolated the problem, Jim, and as somebody, you know, with the commuter action group, what should be done? Like if you were holding all the cards and you were making the decisions, what would it look like?
If I was the commissioner of the DOT,
but how do you do? I mean, you just said it's a lose-lose across the board.
Well, I think they need to do a few things. They need to make passengers feel safe. They need to enforce the mask regulations. They need to kick people off the train and give them fines if they're not wearing masks. That's a federal rule. If somebody was on a train and they lit up a cigar, they'd be off that train in nanoseconds. Why are conductors allowing passengers not to wear masks? That's just adding to the fear that people have of the train not being safe. I think they also have to incentivize people. They've got to improve the speed of the train. They've got to offer fair, you know, buy one, get one free programs. They've got to put Wi-Fi on the trains. You know, the ridership going into New York City used to not have a choice. Now they do have a choice. Maybe it's to drive. Maybe it's to work from home. The railroad's actually going to have to try to sell its services to what were once captive passengers.
Yeah. I wonder if at some point the traffic's going to be so bad it's going to push back. The question is, you know, will there be enough comfort with being close to people? I mean, I always try to make sure, even pre-pandemic, I like to have the whole row to myself if I can. So it's going to be interesting to see when they get crowded. All right, listen, Jim, we appreciate the time.
Always, Brian. Have a great day.
You too, man. Jim Cameron from the Commuter Action Group talking about ridership. I mean, the dynamic, it's pretty clear. When ridership's down as it is, well, your instinct is to offset that revenue loss by raising prices. You raise prices, fewer people are going to want to take the train. So what do you do? It's sort of this negative feedback loop that just keeps going and going. Although I do think it's a great alternative if you're comfortable doing it because you don't have to drive. You can read, you can sleep, you can focus on other stuff.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.